Good morning, boys.
Good morning, Mom.
Okay, how about some prayer requests?
Brian, America. Brother, America. And grandma, Chris, Lord, and Jessica.
Okay. All right, let's pray. Father, we just come before you. And we just ask that your will be done. Pray that you would be with Brian and Erica, and brethren in Mexico, Guatemala, Chris Eirik. Pray for Connie. Pray for our friends and our loved ones and our enemies, Lord. We just pray that you just be with them and just help us all, Lord, to turn from our sin and turn towards you and follow you and your will. Lord, help us to submit to your will. Just lead us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Psalm 77 in the Septuagint, 76 in the Masoretic, no, 78 in the Masoretic, sorry. Okay, this is a long one. Okay, give heed, O my people, to my law. Incline your ear to the words of my mouth. I shall open my mouth in parables. I shall speak of hidden things from of old. What things we heard, these we also knew, and our fathers described them to us. It was not hidden from their children in a different generation, who declare the praises of the Lord and his mighty deeds and his wondrous things he did. He's talking about the father passing on the things that he knows about God, the wonderful things that God did. Who declare the praises of the Lord and his mighty deeds and his wondrous things he did. He raised up a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel. Whatever he commanded our fathers to make these things known to their children, that a different generation may know. Children yet to be born, and they will arise and declare these things to their children, so they may put their hope in God and not forget the works of God and seek out his commandments, so they may not become like their fathers, a generation rebellious and embittered, a generation that did not keep its heart right and its spirit was not faithful with God. The sons of Ephraim. So he's talking about the fathers telling their children so that their children would put their hope in God and that they wouldn't forget the wonderful things that God has done so they wouldn't become rebellious. Okay, the sons, 9. The sons of Ephraim who bend and shoot their bows turn back in the day of battle. They did not keep God's covenant. They did not desire to walk in his law, and they forgot his good deeds and his wonders he showed them in the sight of their fathers, the marvelous things he did in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He parted the sea and led them through. The water stood like a dam, and he led them with a cloud by day and all night by the light of a fire. He split the rock in the desert and gave them water to drink as in the great deep. And he brought out water from the rock, and he brought it down like the waters of rivers. And they still continued to sin against him. God did all these wonderful things, and they still continued to sin against him. They rebelled against the Most High in a place without water. And they tested God in their hearts by asking food for their souls. And they slandered God and said, "Why is God unable to prepare a table in the desert? Since he struck the rock and waters flowed and brooks flooded, is he also unable to give us bread or to prepare a table for his people?" Therefore, the Lord heard and was enraged, and fire was kindled in Jacob, and wrath arose against Israel, because they did not believe in God, nor put their hope in his salvation. It's interesting, this whole group of people that saw God do such wonderful things, and it says that in reality, they still just didn't believe in God. They didn't put their hope in his salvation. And he commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven. And he rained manna for them to eat and gave them the bread of heaven. Man ate the bread of angels. He sent them food in abundance. He took away the south wind from heaven. And with his power, he brought in the southwest wind. He rained flesh on them like dust. That was when he gave them the quail. And winged birds like the sand of the sea. And they fell in the midst of their camp. All around their tents. The quail were all around their tents. And they ate and were filled. And he brought them their own desire. They were not deprived of their desire. While their food was still in their mouth, the wrath of God rose up against them. And killed their wealthy ones. And shackled Israel's chosen ones. In all these things, they still sinned and did not believe his wonders. And their days ended in folly, and their years with haste. When he killed them, they sought him out. When he killed them, they sought him out, and turned back and rose up early before God. They remembered God was their helper, and the Most High God their Redeemer. But they deceived him with their mouth, and lied to him with their tongue. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they faithful to his covenant. But he is merciful and will atone for their sins and not destroy them. And he will multiply them, turn away his anger, and he will not kindle all his wrath. For he remembered they are flesh, a spirit that is passing and not returning. How many times did they rebel against him in the desert? And provoke him to wrath in the desert. It seems like God has been very patient. And they turned away and tempted God and provoked the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his hand and the day he redeemed them from the hand of those afflicting them, how he wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the plains of Zoan, and how he turned their rivers and rainfalls into blood so they could not drink. He sent them the dog fly, and it devoured them. This is all the plagues that he sent to Egypt. And the frog, and it destroyed them. He gave their fruit to the mildew and their labors to the locust. And he killed their vineyard with hail and their mulberry trees with frost. And he delivered their cattle to the hail and their property to the fire. He sent forth the wrath of his anger to them. Anger and wrath and affliction sent forth through evil angels. He made a path for his wrath. He did not spare their souls from death. And their cattle he enclosed in death. And he struck every firstborn in Egypt, the first fruit of their labor in the tents of Ham. And he brought his people out, and then he brought his people out like sheep. So he saved them from their captives, and then it says that he led them out. He was faithful. He led them out like sheep, and he led them like a flock in the desert, and he guided them in hope, and they were not afraid. And the sea covered up their enemies. He brought them into the mountain of his holiness, this mountain his right hand acquired. And he cast out the nations from before their face, and distributed them a measure of land as an inheritance. And he settled the tribes of Israel in their tents. They tested, and they rebelled against God, the Most High, and did not keep his testimonies, and they turned away and broke his covenant, just as their fathers did. And they changed into a crooked bow, and they provoked him to anger with their high places, and moved him to jealousy with their carved images. God heard and despised them, and he utterly disdained Israel. He rejected the tabernacle at Shiloh, his dwelling place where he settled among men. He gave their strength into captivity and their beauty into the hands of the enemy. and he gave his people over to the sword and despised his inheritance. For fire consumed their young men, and their virgins were not lamented. Their priests fell by the sword, and their widows were not lamented. Then the Lord awoke from his sleep. Then the Lord awoke as from sleep, like a strong man drunk from wine, and he struck his enemies from behind. He gave them eternal reproach, and he rejected the dwelling of Joseph, and did not choose the tribe of Ephraim. He chose the tribe of Judah, this Mount Zion that he loves. And he built his sanctuary as the place of unicorns. He founded it forever on the earth. He chose David for a servant and took him from the sheepfolds. He took him from behind sheep that gave birth to shepherd Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. And he shepherded them in the integrity of his heart and guided them with the skillfulness of his hands. Okay. Well, not much to add. Just think it's interesting how God is just patient with us, but at some point, I think we will get what we want. If we want something other than what God wants, you know, we might just get it, and God just might let us run off if we'll keep on running away from him. So let's not ever do that. Let's just hope in God and trust him, and remember he's our helper. Okay. Let's do our assignments from last week. Roger, would you go ahead and start?
Yeah. Sometimes we go to auctions and stuff and we want to get something, but somebody else gets it, and it taught me that we don't have to get them, and other people can get them. We might get some later, and it's fine if we don't even get. Mine is about we're going to move to a new place, and I got really excited about that and all planned about that and everything. And then here, another person bought it before we did, and that wasn't very nice. But that taught me that if God don't want you to move to get something, well, then you don't have to get it. And then here we got a better place. I like it better, at least.
A long time ago, I got left at a hotel, and then they came back, and then I learned to stick with the family.
One time I had to split kindling, and I didn't really want to. But then when I had finished and come back in, it started to pour down rain. And I found out that had I done it later, I would have had to do it in the rain.
One time we had to dig a French drain, and I really didn't want to. It was really cold, and we had to do it many days. But now there's no mold. When we work under the house, there's no mold all around.
When I broke my arm, I didn't like it, but I learned to be patient and get through it.
Okay. Next week, let's have a verse or a story about forgiveness.
Well, We have a hearty stove, and it keeps our house warm. And it's mine and Chet's job to check it every morning and evening to keep, make sure there's wood on it. And sometimes we forget, and it's really cold outside, and we go in expecting to be warm. The house is cold, so we ain't got no fire. Just kind of disappointing. Just learns to learn, keep, makes you learn that just if you want a warm place to go, just keep the fire on and stuff.
A lot of times in my life, I've learned it. A lot of things have happened that I didn't like, and I've learned that you just gotta, you can't make a change after it's happened. You just gotta live through it.
This week, I was getting ready to scare Joy in the barn, but she was leading the horse in the barn, and the horse got all jumpy and started shaking her head around, and it kind of hurt Joy, but Tim was there to help her and let her in the barn.
One time when we hit the bull with the green Suburban, I wasn't strapped in, and I beat up my lip some, so from then on I learned to always strap in.
I don't necessarily like Sunday school, but I can see that it's good to, when we're younger we used to memorize a lot, and we memorized quite a few chapters in Matthew, and I can see the good in it, even if it's not the most enjoyable thing to do.
I don't, whenever it's cold like this or nasty or raining or whatnot, I don't always like have to get up and go out and first thing feed when it's wet and nasty, but I just remember I'm sitting inside warm and sitting there eating. Figure them cows probably like to eat too, so just gotta go do it.
A few summers ago, I had to spray a lot of Bermuda grass in the yard to keep it from spreading into the garden. And I'd spray it, and then it'd grow right back, and I'd spray it again. I'd spray it a lot and a lot. And then at the end of the summer, it was more enjoyable.
One day this week, we were hunting, and it was raining really hard, and I learned endurance.
I was just thinking about whenever I get sick, it's hard to, I don't really like it too much, but whenever you get over it, you realize how much you do have.
Yes. Oh, I'd just like to share something I just thought of right now, that when I was a teenager, I just would not listen to anything my dad would tell me. I can't hardly remember hardly obeying anything, just everything. Like anything really important that I wanted to do, I just always found a way to just convince him to let me do it. And then after I was already out of the house and going to school for a year, I was really a zealous, charismatic with evangelicals. And just, I mean, I just thought I was really spiritual and really, really what they call spiritual. And that summer vacation, after my first year in the university, my dad said, he said, you need to just come home and go to work and find a job. And I mean, I just thought, I had plans to go down to the church that I met in Brazil when I was an exchange student. And I really did, in my mind, really have to listen to my dad because I wasn't even living at home anymore. But I decided to do what he said anyways, and I'm looking back on it now, I'm just so glad that I spent that summer home working and not just down with some crazy church trying to speak in tongues and get filled with whatever spirit they had. I mean, that's what I was planning on doing. That's like one of the few times I remember just, or one of the first times that I just listen to my dad that had anything to do that was really, I mean, something that I really wanted to do that I really thought was important, and I just did what he said. But I just wonder if that isn't one of the things that just kept me from just becoming completely deceived by false Christianity.